Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to episode 438 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Great, thanks.
Everyone's good.
Not as great as me.
No, you're right.
My voice is gone.
How's your voice gone? I know intellectually I know why someone's voice would be gone on a Monday after a Sunday night, but I don't remember. Maybe I couldn't hear you over the fucking dead shits in front of me, but I don't really hear a hell of a lot coming out of you.
It was all at the end. Yeah, right at the end.
It was all at the end. Oh, it all came out.
Doing the ready and that bit.
We fucking were ready.
I'll just have one question for you, boys. Can you give me a pee?
Look, will we talk about the occasion first? Let's talk about the occasion first.
Before we talk about the characters.
And look, I'll tell you what, guys. This is, and when I say guys, I mean dear listeners. On the Facebook group, when I post the game thread for this episode, I'll post a picture of the guy we're talking about right now, so you can get a visual aid to accompany this whole story. I sent it to Jay. I took all these photos, like I took some down low shots of him and Arthur and stuff, you know, during the game and stuff. And I sent them to him, plus just some ones I took just to the ground and that. And then the last one I sent him some photos from the day. And the last one was that fucking toothless guy in front of us. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a sneaky enough shot of him when he was looking around enough that you could see the lack of teeth in his mouth.
I reckon if you'd have said to him,
yeah,
turn around and smile so we can get a photo for the family.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm sure we'll get to more of it, but I was telling Nicklin today about the lovely young lady to my right yelling out to Braden, who was to further down, further oh, no, was, even to Jay's was, left. And
no, it was Jaden.
No, he was a Jaden. I thought it was Braden. Because I remember when she called out to Jaden and then
nine times.
And he answered, and I turned to Jay and said, "Of course his name's fucking Jaden."
but what about when she was calling it and she called his name like a dozen times in a row and the cunt didn't answer her, and then all of a sudden Jay's doing, "Fuck's sake, Jaden!"
Yeah, and like I would never want to denigrate or categorise an entire fan base of a side, but Russell Crowe, the row in front of us, Russell Crowe fucking headshotted them. I mean, like, he couldn't have nailed it better.
Here's the thing, though. There is nothing more Penrith than a couple that go to the footy, sit 9 seats apart,
and then yell at each other.
And when she wants his attention, she can say his name exactly the same way 47 times in a row. Yeah. Like Mrs. Stepdad's got 3 J's in her before the tone raises, and I snap out of whatever I'm doing and turn around. But this was like, it was 8 minutes of just solid Jaden, 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 Jaden. Jane. Jane.
For fuck's sake,
And Jaden and the guy whose name I didn't catch that was sitting in front of us in the old brown and white chalky jersey. They were the type of fans at games where they're not just content with the pre-match show, the football spectacle on the field and all the regalia that, you know, goes around a season ending grand final match. No, they have to insert themselves into the fucking entertainment as well. And they have to stand up and they have to look around to make sure people are seeing that they are actually the main event, not the football on the field. And
respect where respect is due, Absolute master coaches.
Oh.
Absolute master coaches. Spend a good portion of the game, you know, turn them around. We've got to turn them around.
Yeah,
we'll only win if we turn them around. I was like, well, do you think a fucking entire professional fucking rugby league coaching staff has not sat down and in their brainstorm, one of the ideas has been turn them around. And
what about in the coach's box? A little known fact was that one of Cameron Seraldo says to Ivan, mate, I think we need to turn them around. It's like, look, I tend to agree with you, but if you check with Jaden and his mates.
Either that or, like, you know, Peter Wallace is up there. He's got the binoculars out and he goes, Ivan, there's a bloke down there with no teeth. He's saying, I can't quite make out what it is. Turn them. Ivan, he's saying turn them around. Get a message to the boys.
Gotta turn them around.
Fuck me,
man. And this guy was like, he was like the Panthers, like he was like Methy Nichols or something. He was like the Panthers version of Laurie Nichols out there,
and here's the thing,
it was entertaining for me as a neutral.
This is the thing. He was probably a little bit fortunate that he fell just on the Forrest Gump side of the spectrum.
Yep.
I'll tell you where he fell. On me.
That was in the second half when he was sitting in front of me in the first half, but he didn't get back to his seat after the halftime break until like 10 minutes into the second half. And at that point, other members of the family had settled into their seats various, and he said he wasn't in front of me anymore and he ended up in front of Glennie. But
I did actually, when I caught him, I got one hand to actually catch him around the fucking top of the shoulder, like towards his neck. And the other hand hadn't quite fucking got to catch. So I actually inadvertently, quite fortunate, I did give him a fairly solid right smack in the sternum as I was trying to react to him fucking falling over his seat onto me.
How good. Oh, man. But,
good times.
You know what? Everyone's fucking journey through life is just as valid as mine.
Correct.
Bullshit.
And that night was just as special for them as it was for me, and I am fucking glad that they were there to enjoy it. Because if there is one redeeming factor of people like that, it is that they are diehards. You know they have been through some fucking dark days, especially with this club.
Let me tell you, that guy in front of us. He definitely did not fucking buy a brand new Dada jersey and put it on right before the game. I'll tell you that much.
You're a piece of shit.
Jay.
You are a piece of shit. Why are you you are?
I'll take fucking full credit for that.
Jay had his Chalky Soldier jersey there and he saw that one. I was like, oh, and he bought himself a new jersey on the night. I'm not saying it's the only Penrith jersey he ever owned or anything and he's just fucking suited up for the game. I'm not saying that at all.
Putting on the fucking 1991 jersey was the reason they won.
Oh, that's the reason.
That is the reason.
All right.
That tipped enough of the fucking universe's want that it saw that and the scales went back to good.
Right. Right. It was like $120 or something.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Down from $160.
Into it. That's a Penrith pineapple.
we're probably going to think of other things that we remember from the actual just the periphery of the game and the day and everything itself as we go, I think. But so I would, let's just say without any further ado, and when we talk about express episodes, I mean we got one game to talk about, and believe me, we'll stretch it out as far as we can. But no, yeah, we'll see.
You get what you get, and you don't get upset.
Oh, I'm still a little bit heartburny from drinking that fucking 16-year-old fucking scotch that tasted like barbecued fucking whiskey. Like the smoke profile was so high on it. It was fucking great. The grand final result, Penny Panthers 14 defeated the South Sydney Rabbitohs 12 at Suncorp Stadium in front of a crowd of 39,322 future fucking COVID cases, of which we constitute three. And it'll be a nervous fucking 13 days. I got the feeling today, I had the same feeling I had the day after we went to Fat Belly Jack's, the last day before shit locked down, the first time COVID came out.
I woke up in the middle of the night because I needed a beverage because my fucking throat was raw. Yeah. And in my half fucking asleep state, I've gone, oh no, sore throat. Before realizing that it doesn't fucking instantly.
That's a Rona. <get you. laughs> I'll be very interested to see what comes out of it because when they talk about the, you know, the social distancing and everything, and there was much made of the 25% of the fans that they cut off. They really legit just cut off the last 25% of tickets sold on certain ticket allocation days. And you could see there was only, like, there were a couple of bays, like two bays that sort of had, like, the top half of them were kind of empty, like just like, you know, someone, if you lobbed a grenade into a bay and emptied it out, that it was, otherwise it was, and let me tell you, the mask mandate, what fucking mask mandate? There was...
Well, to be fair, I had my mask on when we got there.
Yeah.
And I was fucking bullied out of it.
By who?
By you.
I didn't fucking bully you shit.
Fuck, in a public forum, hacking on me.
I wasn't hacking on you. You said...
Hang on. It's his fault that you care what other people think.
He said he had his mask
on.
Is that
the story we're going with here?
I took my mask off because I forgot, like, because, you know, the last couple of games, it's been, you know, when you sit down, you can take your mask off. And so I've forgotten. I just autopilot just did that. And Glenn's got his mask on. And so he looks at me and he goes, oh, I've still got my mask on. And I was like, and?
I said, I can
have my mask off while I'm eating and drinking. Mm. And sure, I wasn't eating or drinking, but I wasn't in the second half.
If I recall correctly, you said to him, congratulations for being so conscientious.
Yeah.
You commended him.
Your memories of last night are quite sketchy.
And I think I may have said something along the lines of...
Maybe you do have Rona.
I may have said something along the lines of, I'm double vaxxed, so I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Or something of that nature as well. But
I was looking for any excuse to get out of the claustrophobic piece of shit. So I took it off in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
What were on the subject of the crowd...
Yes.
Did it feel to you like the crowd was very heavily South Sydney slanted?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, there were a couple of times when it didn't feel that way, but I sort of had to. You have to do the mental calculation as well, realizing that we were in Panthers Central, and so it was always going to be whatever the Panthers' reaction was. It was loudest exactly where we were.
I haven't had a chance to rewatch the whole game on television. I've sat down and watched some of the highlights again though.
Mm.
And that last try that South scored, they scored down our end.
Yeah.
There were a lot more fucking Rabbit supporters in our bay
than you'd think. Yeah,
there were two directly behind us, and another couple in front of us. See,
yeah.
But when you watch that and you see the try, and the cameras kept down the end, they scored it.
Yeah,
like when Penrith scored, there's the Crichton's try.
Yeah,
on TV they flash back to our bay.
Yeah, right.
But when South scored, they stayed on our bay.
Yep.
And there were a lot of Bunnies jerseys in there.
Mm. It was definitely like when they, you know, when they do the call out of all the players on each side, to me, I think the two loudest cheers of the entire sides and coaching was Benji and Wayne Bennett.
Yeah. And this leads me to my next point. To a person, all Queenslanders and all Broncos fans are sad, pathetic cucks. And this is not a generalization.
Hang on a sec. By its very definition, what you just said is a generalization.
No, I'm saying it is not a generalization.
It's a fact.
Because, no. That being a generalization would leave room for it not to apply for some of that. Whereas I am saying it definitively applies to all of them. So for them all to jump onto the teat of the man who not only salted the earth at their club once, but twice, who, like, they should hate him just for what he did with the Darius Boyd contract.
Yeah.
Like, for somebody to do that to your club, yeah, that, like, that's enough.
Yeah.
To be never support again, you know? Like you could be coaching the doctor performing brain surgery on my mother, and I would hope you fail.
Yep.
If you do that to my club. But, yeah, you know, absolutely fucking shameful behaviour, but completely in character for both Queensland and Broncos fans. Not surprised. Right,
before we get so distracted, I'll go through the scorers. The Panthers 14, tries to Matt Burton and Stephen Crichton. Cleary, two conversions and a penalty goal. The Rabbits, they had tries through Cody Walker and Alex Johnson. Reynolds with a conversion and a penalty goal.
Go for it, Glennie. What were your thoughts?
Fucking tight game. It was very interesting to take in that atmosphere amongst the Penrith fans.
You could feel it, couldn't you?
As a neutral.
Was very interesting.
Some Nate of the and I discussed it a couple of times, but you sort of could feel the energy ebb and flow through different sections of the game. But the biggest thing for me was that period of the game where, and take nothing away from Penrith, I think they were on top for the vast majority of the game, but there was a couple of periods, one in the first half and one in the second half, where South seemed to be clawing things back and Penrith weren't quite getting their way, and you could just feel the energy of the Bay.
The period when they scored their try in the second half, actually it was the period leading up to the intercept, and then it kind of got, and then the intercept kind of fixed it for a couple of minutes, but then when they scored almost straight after again, you could feel it.
There was a couple of bigger fellas further down from us and to our left, and you could see they were trying to like turn around and sort of get everyone else to like lift, and you could just sense that it was a bit, oh fuck, you know. But the feeling I felt after the intercept, there was a general feeling like, oh fuck, we've got it. And then, as you say, when Johnston scored, they, you know, it sort of went back into the shell a little bit. But look, I thought Penrith, you know, it's a cliche, but they definitely, the forwards got on top early, and they were dominant through the ruck and just in their first initial contact. And South didn't have that for much of the game. And you actually made mention of it too.
Yeah, at any stage of the game, there was no time in the game, I think. When Rabbits kind of got some good field position, that's when they, you know, like guys like Tom Burgess, they kind of lifted a little bit more and they actually got a bit out of them. But for the entirety of the game, otherwise, they got fucking nothing. They got nowhere out of their forwards, and it was just one of those, you know. And it comes down to the two things for me. There's a testament to Cleary's kicking game, obviously, because it wasn't his general play; it was just his kicking game that won him to Clive Churchill, because it was the decisive thing in the game, I think. And the thing that made his kicking game even better was, you know, by and large, the chasing of guys like Matt Burton.
Yeah.
To actually tie it. And so while the South guys were, you know, for the most part, there was a couple of bobbles here and there, but for the most part, you know, guys like Tuffy that were pretty safe. But there was a couple of times where the defense sort of knocked the ball out as they were carting it back. And the rest of the time, they were just hitting a fucking brick wall. They only made like one half break coming back from a kick. And that was one time when Alex Johnson sort of got it out wide and then ran into the middle and then linked up with Taffy through the middle. And that was like the only ground they made the entire game. Yep. One time.
And he copped some heavy contact the majority of the time as he was bringing it back.
Yeah, super safe, but fuck, he got smashed.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what, you know, I was going to say, fucking Toa got smashed as well.
Mm.
Some of the contact on him was fucking nuts.
Yeah, but I thought Taffy did well. Like, he started off the game absolutely brilliantly. Then he had those. Remember, there was sort of two or three kicks in a row. That just sort of a little ones bit that resulted in
being
on.
Dropped. The ones that were sort of ended up being dropouts because they were kind of strange. Yeah,
that's it. And like he didn't attack the football.
Yeah,
but he righted himself.
Yeah.
Whereas you would have given him an excuse if he'd have, like, you know, not necessarily got the yips, but just been off from that point. A couple of misreads, a couple of poor decisions. But fuck, he backs himself.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's a sensational, future prospect. 100%. I agree pretty much with everything. Sorry, Nate, go on.
So, yeah, there really isn't a lot more to talk about in terms of Penrith's game. It was all predicated on this excellent kicking game, excellent chase to make the kicking game even better, and then guys that, you know, traditionally may not be the strongest defenders, you know, having up games, like guys like Kickow.
Yeah.
Like, defensively was great, except for his first tackle where he gave up a penalty for a high shot.
Which was gave him the ground that led to the first try.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, I mean, it was one of his best games, I thought, you know, defensively. I mean, I don't know if that kick out that's, you know, the try-scoring kick out, I think maybe that gimmick has now been, you know, people are awake to it now, so I don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, get it as easy as he had it in, like, 2020, where he was just the crash ball, you know, try-scoring sort of king. And, I mean, he almost got that one there off that late offload from Cleary that was ended up going forward. But they're like, attack-wise, though... South defended extremely well.
I think Penrith stripped them quite well for numbers on several occasions. But
they somehow evened it up. And it wasn't like they were just sort of forcing them out wide and scrambling. They sort of, you could see that they were gone, and somehow they just shifted enough to put a stop to it.
Mm.
And some of their guys made pretty smart decisions. You know, with the exception of Cam Murray when he jumped out that led to the Burton try, but guys cutting attacking players off early saved their ass as well, you know, a number of times.
I thought Campbell Graham for South defensively, they put him to the test.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they targeted him specifically, but there was a lot of action and a lot of split-second decisions made by him and around him, and I thought over the course of the game he defended quite well. But for me, Penrith, the kicking game was the focal point and
the kicking game and their defence in general across the entire game, like not just the kick chase, but and like the Rabbits for their part, they were coming off their fucking line every set, with the exception of a couple. There was one set in the second half there where they were coming on strong, where they got 2-6 agains in the one passage, and that got them all the way down down the other end. But other than that, they just struggled to work it off their own end. Yeah.
And they were belted when they were doing it.
Fucking destroyed. And the only time they really made any ground is when they did try and sort of chance their arm a little bit and just try and get around them. And, you know, they made a couple of half breaks that way, which, you know, got them downfield a little bit more. But, and I think Reynolds, the groin injury, I think he still was suffering from. I haven't read anything about what, you know.
100% he was.
Because he's kicking, like, they couldn't even muster a long kicking game. I mean, the amount of times that the Panthers started their sets, like, you know, the Dylan Edwards, you know, he got a lot of meters because he was catching the ball on his 20 and, you know, his 10 and getting to the 30 every single time. And it was free meters because the Rabbits were not chasing hard.
Yeah, that's it.
To cut it down either. Yeah. And so they didn't need the massive meters out of Toto. I don't know how many meters he got, but it felt like Toto got smashed most of the time.
When he did a lot of hard work last night.
Yeah.
Like he
didn't shy away from his effort, but he got belted, and he kept coming.
The way they would contact him as well, like the first guy sort of hit him on the hip, and another guy would hit him, like, you know, around shoulder height from the other side, and he just gets car crash sort of contact.
But he's straight back up. But if we talk about this game, we have to go back to the beginning. And look, there's been a lot of comments I've seen that said, "Oh, Penrith have been the best team over the last 2 years," which I don't think is true. And
I mean, the argument's there. It's an argument between two, and I mean, they're very similar.
The argument is there, but there were patches last year where Penrith were not great. They were amazing in the early part of the year, but then they tapered off. If you remember last year, they limped into the grand final, barely beat the Rabbits to get in there, playing well below where they had been for the most of that year. Then this year was tougher again with the sacrifices they made to win New South Wales, the Origin Shield, you know, losing both their playmakers for different periods of time and what that did to the attack.
And Luai never returned after Origin.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't play another minute in season 2021.
Jesus fucking Christ, Nathan.
He's lost his mojo though, like properly, like 100% though, right? You can't
argue that, look, yeah. I'll get to that in a minute. But one thing that this definitely does now is that it puts the Melbourne Storm and Cameron Smith's final season in the place where it rightfully belongs.
Yeah.
Nothing more than a fucking footnote in the story of Penrith's 2021 victory. Because I said it last year, Melbourne had nothing to do with that grand final. That grand final depended on Penrith and how they played. Melbourne were just there. They didn't actually take part in it. They didn't do anything. No one will actually remember them as being the champions. What they are now were just the opponents that gave Penrith the motivation to win in 21. They're essentially what the fucking Raiders were in 1990. A bunch of overhyped.
I fucking thought we were going to escape this, but you've just fucking warmed up to it. I'm so proud. Yeah.
Can I just say, it was funny. Like when the game was, you know, finally when the full time went, because you know he was like all fans should. He was fucking stressing to the death. But and then like I tell you, when the full time hooter went, I looked over at him. And I saw on his face the closest approximation to something resembling genuine emotion that I've ever fucking seen in knowing this cunt over the course of like about a decade. And I tell you, it like when I say approximation of emotion, I mean it was, you know, it probably wasn't quite as emotional as like Roy Batty in Blade Runner, or it was about as emotional as Arnold Schwarzenegger when he's going down thumbs up into the fucking melted steel at the end of Terminator 2. It was about that level of emotion, like not quite human emotion, but it was fucking close, like the closest I've seen for sure. It wasn't quite as emotional as I was when I realised they were giving out free chocolate milks outside after the game. But it was like...
What? Chocolate and vanilla?
Holy shit.
Oh, fuck, I would have grabbed a vanilla if I knew they were getting... I would have got one of each for the road.
So first of all, fuck you to the entire state of Melbourne and all Storm supporters.
The entire state of Melbourne.
Geography, motherfucker. Did you take it?
They think they're a state.
Jay, I've got a question for you. Just right now while I can capture this moment.
Go for it.
What would a Melbourne person say about this grand final?
Wait, let me get myself comfortable. Okay, go. Yeah.
Well, firstly, I think I'd say that I don't really know what's going on in other parts of Australia, because obviously all of the crucial things are happening here, as in our right to protest is being taken away because we can't sit inside to eat anymore. And, you know, really, I've heard that a lot of these rugby players, their wives don't like the vaccines. So that's okay with me, because I think that in Victoria we should have a right to choose. Just as I know exactly what's in my potato cakes, I should know exactly what's going into my body. So that's, you know, probably what they're talking about now. I don't know.
Nor do you care.
No, I don't. Again, they're a fucking footnote in Penrith's glorious story of victory in 2021. But again, on from that, this final series has been amazing as well. You know, Penrith finishing the year, you know, in second, on a high note. You know, Parramatta resting a bunch of players and Penrith really zinging in and looking in good form, only to capitulate in week one of the finals. We're obvious favourites against the Rabbits. And everyone was just teeing up, yep, Panthers Storm grand final again. And the only other club that anyone was really talking about was Manly.
Mm.
Off the back of Tommy's form and what they had done, just fucking putting cricket scores on everybody they came up against. But for them to lose that game and then be counted out by everybody, then to have such a fucking hard game against Parramatta in a game that, again, they were touted to have won easily, for that to be so
that's,
hard.
I think that's when the counted out thing happened, because I think, realistically, I think everyone expected them to fucking destroy Parramatta.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But the other thing, you know, you talk about grand final wins coming down to moments. And if you look at it, there was that fucking crossfield kick to Crichton in that game against Melbourne.
Mm.
Mm.
That was the difference in them getting there at all.
Yeah.
You know, so there were so many fucking sliding doors moments in this campaign to get them to that point even before the grand final. The news coming out afterwards that things like, you know, Dylan Edwards has had, you know, broken bones in his foot.
Yeah.
For a month.
Doesn't explain why he keeps dropping bombs, whatever.
I was going to say, I would have fucking asked.
Well, Glennie, he's got fucking hands like feet. That's how it relates to him dropping bombs.
Gotcha.
You heard of mind-muscle connection? He's got hand-foot connection.
I will have to eat some humble pie. Dylan Edwards. Over the last 2 weeks,
yeah.
He's played well the last couple of weeks.
Well, he didn't have any moments at all in the grand final. I mean, he did have moments last week, but in the grand final, he played pretty much one of the best games that I've ever seen him play. To be honest,
he had that pretty obvious fucking shepherd,
mm.
which see that. And here's the thing: that was a 50-50.
That was Cam Murray genius.
That was one of the best 100%. Plays Cam Murray's made in his career.
100%. Yeah, some weeks they're going to call that, some weeks they're not. Mm. And in a grand final, you've got to know that. Well, those odds aren't great.
Yeah, but the way that Cam Murray sold it, he sold it fucking perfectly, so that he gives the referees no choice.
Yeah, correct. That's it. But I think if you look back at, and you want to say, look, let's rank the top 10 fullbacks that have played in a grand final, whether they won it or not, he wouldn't even be in the discussion.
Yeah.
But he is playing at peak Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
Like they have fucking maxed his stats.
Yeah.
To what he's going to give. And that probably goes a little way to explaining a couple of things like, you know, he was a little bit hesitant in attack to really put a burst on and try and get around someone or throw that last pass. And that's understandable. But from listening to Ivan, did you watch the press conferences?
No.
No.
Ivan had this thing. He said he woke up at 2 a.m. in a cold sweat.
I did see that quote, yeah.
Over his team selection. Yeah. As in there were, you said, four of them that were in doubt, and he's named them anyway. To start, he's like, oh my God, like four of them could go within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that was the potential that they were looking at realistically. But I echo everything you've said. It was clear his kicking game. It was, you know, Isaiah Yeo, I cannot express how fucking mammoth he was for that club last night.
Mm.
In his efforts, in his mentality, in just how he led from the front. I've always been wary of having, you know, forwards as captains just for those times when they are off the field.
Yeah.
And I know now there's the co-captain thing and this, that, and the other. But he is obviously the best person for that job, just the way that he leads those guys around the field. For them to come through the way they did, to play the way they did, to be in those games and have such an evolution. You know, if you think about, again, people saying they've been the best team for 2 years. Yeah, okay, fair enough, right or wrong. But they were, remember the arrogant Panthers, the throw it around, the chuck it around, the flamboyant, you know, scoring these beautiful tries. This evolution they've had into this battle-hardened, grit-and-grind team has been impressive to watch. To your point about Romy, you're right. He didn't come back from Origin. But I saw it time after time after time after time. That side for Penrith, they're playing with half the pace they used to. Half the pace they used to. If you remember last year when they were singing, the ball would go out, it'd go from Cleary, it'd go to Luai. Now, Cleary's already moving at a fair rate of knots.
Yeah.
It'd get to Luai and he'd accelerate and everyone outside him would accelerate as well.
Mm.
The acceleration isn't happening on his outside now. So what's happening is he's getting to his man, you know, before the defense has time to fuck up, if that makes sense. And so it's getting compressed. They're getting in each other's way. They've got no fucking space. And he doesn't have all of that room he had last year. You know, for those loops. Remember how fucking devastating his short kicking game was earlier this year?
Yeah, but I still reckon it just comes down to like, he's just off. And that side has been held up because Burton's been fucking great. Well, he's been spectacular. And so he's actually carried the side.
Is his knee bothering him? You know,
see, that's the thing. It could well be.
He's a confidence guy, right? His talent level is undeniable, but he's a confidence kid. Like he's still young, so when he's high on confidence, he's unstoppable.
And so this is what I'm saying:
if the knee's playing on his mind,
because he's not accelerating like he was, his outside men aren't accelerating with him. What was happening was they were going forward more so than laterally, because defences started retreating. As soon as he put the foot down, defences would start retreating, trying to make the read. Whereas now, the pace isn't there, so he's got no choice but to go more sideways, and they're running out of room.
Mm.
You know? Look, it may very well be the knee.
Another factor could be just the application of the rule set, because, I mean, you know, say what you will about the, you know, about PVL and the rules and six again and everything.
Yeah.
At the start of the final series, the referees pretty much fucking binned it all in terms of interpretation. This final series was pretty much fucking played as, you know, as ever. I mean, sure, there were six agains here and there, but nothing like it was.
No.
Like, not even close. I mean, it's funny, just like everything that was implemented, including the head high cracker. I mean, there was a couple of send offs in that game last night.
Yeah, exactly.
That they had to fucking win an Oscar to even get a penalty for it.
And here's the other thing as well, though. You know, plays that work last year, defensive coaches have now had 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
To look at that play and to drill defences for it. So, you know, this was a grand final on heart and will, essentially, with that many busted players taking the hardest possible route to the grand final, through the team that beat them in the grand final last year in a semi.
Mm.
It was a fuck. The whole thing has been an amazing story.
And now, with all of that being said, it's crazy to think that that despite the fact that I would, let's be conservative and say that the Panthers controlled 80% of the game. Yep. Dominated 80% of the game in terms of your field position and whatnot. The Rabbitohs had to throw an intercept to lose the game and bomb a try in the last one. Was it like 1.5, 2 minutes? Where was their left side, best side, fucking score 10 times out of 10. Yep. The way that game was run, I think if they had Luttrell on the field at that point.
Oh, yeah.
The pass wouldn't have been thrown and he would have barged straight through two guys and carried him over the line and got it down.
Yeah, well, you know.
If
your fucking auntie had nuts, she'd be your uncle, but she doesn't.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just crazy to think that the Panthers were that dominant. If we
didn't have Tyrone May, it was 50-0.
Well, no, because he only came on like fucking... He did come on and drop it straight away, though, which was fucking interesting. But, take the Luttrell thing out of it, though. But it's fucking crazy to think that despite the absolute dominance... Absolute dominance the Panthers had in every aspect of this fucking game. It still took an intercept and a fucking bomb try from the Rabbits,
which again is what I've been saying all along. Just everyone's crazy. thought of Penrith. Oh, they're destroying teams and they're this, you know, amazing attacking team.
Well, no one's thought that since Origin. Let's be honest.
But yeah, oh no, exactly. But But people think, oh, can they get back there? Can they get back there? Can they get back there? They've been winning games based on patience and really understanding an 80-minute performance. And also Adam Reynolds missing a fucking conversion.
Yeah, and not just a conversion, but also the 2-point field goal as well, which he's done before. I mean, he did the first one ever from that, you know, pretty much the exact same part of the field.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So honestly, I think that his groin injury was probably more than.
Yep.
Like they kind of shrugged it off after last week's game and said, no, he'll be fine. And obviously, he was never not going to play the game, but. I was surprised, given the kicking of Taffy last week. I thought that maybe, you know, obviously the guy who's going to grab the ball is that, you know, like, credit to Reynolds for being the guy. He's been the guy for South for, you know, his entire career and all of that. But I just can't help but wonder if the fucking groin might have definitely affected the field goal, I think, because that happened. He was right in front of us. Pretty much, and he had a great crack at it. And I mean, there was pressure,
He had plenty of time.
There was pressure, but he had so much time. Like, he had, for Adam Reynolds, he had more time, all the time in the world. And I mean, and let's face it, it wasn't far off. I mean, what, it probably dropped about a meter short of the crossbar or two, you know, like he almost got it there.
How did you feel watching it go towards the post? Like, it only dipped late.
Because it was over, it was head for the black dot. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. he did have it on the line.
Yeah, no, that was the fucking worst moment of my entire fucking life. That was worse than those moments where the doctor says, we've got the results of your test back.
And knowing those results of those tests, I can't, you know, that's saying something. Oh, all right. You have any final words? I mean, we do kind of ramble our way through these ones as we you know, come up with things, but I think we've covered the winning and losing of that game.
Look, there were some. This was an amazing grand final. There were some grand final moments.
I'm glad we got a fucking game though, too.
Yeah, like Walker's try.
Yeah,
that was one of the great solo grand final efforts, and sums up, you know, a lot of what South Sydney's about. Like, they got there off the back of him.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's fucking rough for him that he threw that intercept pass.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, again.
Everything they did came through him as well, though, you know, like.
That's it. There were a couple of amazing fucking defensive efforts. Like, Kickow had one where he's fucking throwing cunts into touch. It was.
Yep.
It was worthy of a grand final.
Definitely.
The only other thing I want to say is it's put in my head. What a fucking great concept rotating grand final locations would be. And I'm obviously sitting here with some fucking fairly big rose-coloured glasses because I got to see my team, you know, win a grand final live. Mm-hmm. I got to take my boy with me, which is a fucking absolutely amazing thing that I am exceedingly grateful that I had the opportunity to do. And, you know, then I do understand, though, that there are people in Sydney who missed out.
Yep.
You know? And the majority of them have been nothing but fucking courteous, understanding that there were larger things at play than themselves. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of lippy cunts that think just because they live in a postcode, they have fucking, you know, special rights that no one else should have.
Yep.
Don't understand the way the world works because, you know, these sort of people appear to be ignorant little fuckwits. But, you know, I'm not a massive NFL fan,
mm-hmm.
but I do understand the concept of how they work their Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I would fucking love a grand final that rotated. Now, I understand that puts travel costs if your team wins. However, the atmosphere yesterday was better than any grand final in recent memory that I've been to. And you hit the nail exactly on the head, Nate. It had a magic round vibe to it.
Mm.
Yeah, because there were so many, apart from the either end of the field, I mean, it was largely probably neutrals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were some North fans. Yeah, good.
Oh, yeah, that's, and down at Fritzenberger, it was like, yeah, fucking funeral. There were like five or six of them, wasn't there? All in the same old Norse jersey. Brand new ones, but yeah, the same jersey.
And anyone that went to Magic Round, we spoke about it on the show. You get this thing where it's on social media, and especially Twitter, which started off as like real life with general ribbing and taking the piss and banter, and has now turned into a fucking cesspool of fuckery, with people actually trying to fucking hurt people.
Yeah.
But that all went away at Magic Round. And other people were fans of other teams for 80 minutes and just enjoyed sitting down and watching footy and celebrated and commiserated with their mates, in different circumstances. Fuck, it was a good atmosphere.
Mm.
It was amazing. And I think done properly, there are many better options than to hold grand finals at Homebush.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way the NFL does it is, they actually have, like, the host city will bid for it, and which provides an injection of cash into it as well, which I'm sure the NRL would love if Melbourne wanted a grand final that badly.
Yep.
That they could then bid for it and, beat a bid, coming from Perth or whatever. I mean, given the size of the sport in Australia, I mean, it's going to be probably one of four places unless New Zealand want to get in on it, which I'm sure they would. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But see, here's the thing, if all the Queensland sides get together, and very soon there'll be North Queensland and the Titans and the Broncos and Redcliffe, Dolphins. You believe what you read.
Yep.
Why can't they all get together and say, well, fuck yeah, let's bid. One of us might make it, one of us might not make it, but fucking how good for our junior clubs and all of this other stuff that's coming on for the sport in our region. Adelaide might say, fuck, our tourism dollars down this year because, people have discovered we're a fucking hole.
Yeah.
Why don't
Wine doesn't fucking cover it anymore.
Yeah. We've got this fucking cricket stadium. We can repurpose that. That'll seat 60,000. Fucking, there you go. Somebody fucking send a fax to the NRL and ask them for the grand final.
Send a raven.
Fax a check to them. But it was a fucking amazing atmosphere. Well done to everybody involved.
It was great, and they did a pretty good job, I think, down there at Suncorp as well. Like the areas they had outside and the general carnival atmosphere they had, the places, the food venues on Caxton Street and in that general precinct would have been fucking loving it, because I know in the early afternoon and definitely after the game, I mean, fucking the lineup for the strip club was fucking deep, wasn't it, Glennie?
It was.
How long did we have to wait to get in there? Fucking hell.
I'll tell you what.
That's part of the night I don't remember.
There are some kids of single mums got iPads today. I'll tell you that much. On the socials.
One of the strippers, give me a P. Give me an E.
Give me an S. Give me a T. Give me a D.
The funny thing about that guy was the first or second time he did it, he went through the thing. He goes, give me a P, give me an E, give me an N, R-I-T-H. Then he goes, then you think, okay, that's going to be the one. And he goes, but then after he's finished spelled out Penrith, he's like, give us an E, give me an R.
What do you got?
And the crowd are like, and the crowd around are kind of like, I'm not fucking sure. Is this like the Queenslander of Penrith and it's Penrither? Or did you start off doing Penrith but then thought you were doing Panther? And then fucked up and sort of changed.
I wouldn't be so fucking surprised with the two of you to be so fucking antiquated that you don't know that now people can be celebration fluid. You can start off as one celebration and just change to another celebration anytime you feel like. So how dare you fucking put him down?
Fuck, I wish something had have identified his teeth and jumped into his mouth.
Title of the show, Identified as Teeth.
I was going to say Celebration Fluid, but we've got a couple. I've literally got three options at the moment.
Yeah, Yes. Well, oh, there,
go, hit some socials. Hit some socials. And don't hit Tyrone Mays one either, the fucking oblivious cunt that he is. Jesus Christ.
Surprisingly to Glenny, there was only fluid in one of us. So. Jordan said the hashtag Yeary of Cleary has finally come about. It fucking has indeed. And look, that is the other thing. Wayne Bennett alluded to it. Did you hear Wayne's presser? The quote. No. The quote of that. He spoke about Ivan, and he spoke about him in this. But Wayne Bennett has these moments that surprise you, where you're like, "Oh, you're a fucking human being after all."
You had one of those moments with Jay last night at full time.
you're not just some fucking old guy that dumps loads in my grandma.
Oh, God.
Please continue,
What did he say?
I didn't see. Of a real doll.
A real doll, except it's crocheted, though, because it's like a grandma.
It's because I made out of paper mache.
Oh, fuck.
He spoke about Ivan in this very almost loving way that someone speaks about, you know, a colleague in a hard position.
Yeah,
right. Like, whereas it's obvious they're not friends socially, but Wayne understands and appreciates enough about what Ivan would be going through. And he alluded to the fact that Ivan had a monkey on his back. You know, they'd been successful for 2 years, two grand finals in a row, amongst a bunch of other things.
Yep.
All the stuff's been dredged up this week about how we left the Tigers and, you know, all of the fucking negatives around it. Can't perform on the big stage, took the Warriors there, got smashed, never should have been there, all this stuff.
Yep.
And Wayne said, sometimes you get a monkey on your back. Well, he had a gorilla. And now it's gone. So the best thing for me out of this one is that it now, I guess, legitimizes the Cleary duo as the right decision. James said, this is for the Penrith nerds, the Perm, Stepmum Nat, Chris Bailey, me, all the long-suffering fans who once pinned their hopes on Luke Walsh and Travis Burns. Hashtag Yeary of Cleary. That thread continues. Joe says, how long should I wait to go to the hospital for this throbbing erection? I don't see it ending anytime soon. And I would also like
shout to... Shout out to Joe, yeah.
Yeah, a massive shout out to Joe, who was good enough to help us get hooked up with tickets when it was apparent that Penrith were going to get through. Mm-hmm. So absolute fucking legend, Joe. Thank you. Rishi said, absolute nail-biter of a game. Kick out, gave away a penalty. Tyrone May dropped the ball for no reason, but in the end, chins get the wins. It's just science, people. Chris, I love this one. Not even the To'o proposal to someone else could ruin this euphoria.
And look, he's made himself into a darling of the women in the league through his actions, like Dally M night and also that proposal thing. But like that, those proposals though, there's like it makes for a nice moment as part of the moment.
Yeah.
But the first thing is, I mean, he's proposing to her and then they don't get to celebrate that engagement. He'll be fucking getting loose with the boys for a week first and then she won't see him. But
Well, no. Did you see what he did?
No.
He gave her a lappy in the change room to Ginuwine's pony.
Oh, my God.
So,
that's tremendous.
I don't think I could love this man.
Tell me you're from Mount Druitt without telling me you're from Mount Druitt.
I'd like to say that Pony by Ginuwine is the strip song that unites all fucking demographics, sir.
Is this the thing, though? Is this what I'm missing? That Penrith is just, like, proverbially, like, 20 years behind everywhere else? Because everyone in that Panthers Bay knew the words to Flame Trees like
so
it was a fucking
I was
top 40.
Glenny is actually singing.
Where
I heard,
were you born,
yeah.
Cunt?
Well, yeah, good point. Gotcha.
Ash said, sometimes there are grand finals where I hope both teams lose. There are others where the best possible result is a nuke falling on the stadium. I wish both teams could have won this one. Amazing game to watch as a neutral fan. There you go. How good. Wholesome. Ben So Tyrone May getting a premiership ring has to be one of the greatest injustices since Cardinal Pell got off.
Look, mate, like people can Tyrone May or and Dylan Edwards all they like, but just remember that now and forever, Chad Townsend is a premiership winning halfback.
Yeah, that's it.
And so, like, there are fucking levels to this fucking scab premiership bullshit, man.
Our mate Chris, or should I say, the premiership winning Bailey in our Facebook group. He said, this is it. This is what it's all about. You follow your team through the bad stretches. You watch Adrian Purtell play second row. You watch Joe Williams and Frank Pritchard as starting halves at Suncorp. Fuck me, yes. You cheer on Cam fucking Newton. But it's all worth it to feel this joy. Cheers, Twill Nation. Hashtag chins get the wins. Hashtag Yeary of Cleary. It fucking happened, man. It fucking happened. Conan said, so nice to send Matt Burton into retirement a winner after he nailed the tackle of the grand final. Hashtag Yeary of Cleary and Cleary. Added to it. How good. Ryan, Bunnies fan, said, I deliberately waited until now so I could put my emotions aside and come up with a measured and unbiased opinion of the grand final. Congrats to the Panthers on a great game. It really could have gone either way right up to the end. In saying that, though, fuck. One intercept pass. One fucking conversion. This was our last shot for a while. We won't get another opportunity like this for years. The only piece of sunshine for me today is that we were beaten by a likeable team and not the Melbourne snort. There you go. Quick thoughts on where you think, like, are Souths really that out of it? I don't think
they
so.
They drop heavily, I feel.
Losing Reynolds, losing Gagai, both fucking huge. It remains to be seen what they do with Tarpey and with Luttrell coming back. I would like to see, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would like to see Tarpey maybe stay at fullback and then slot Luttrell into centre there, taking the place of Gagai. But then there's also talk that, you know, perhaps they've got an eye for Tarpey in the halves. The Rabbits, and they lose Wayne Bennett. They take a massive fucking hit. The Panthers take a decent hit as well. I mean, with, you know, one of the best players all season with Burton going. I mean, Naden is most certainly, he's a good player, but he's most certainly the very definition of surplus to their requirements.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a nice to have, but they don't need him. But and you see some guys like, you know, Staines and stuff coming through that indicate, like, obviously the pipeline's not fucking everlasting and endless in terms of quality players. But, you know, Burton is going to be, I mean, Burton fucking probably, I'm not going to say single-handedly won them the premiership, but I mean, you know, there's games that they, you know, important games that they might may have dropped without that guy there.
Correct.
Doing what he did on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, 100%.
So they will miss him, and I don't know how he'll go over at the Doggies because...
But South, Capewell though, as well.
Capewell as well, yeah.
Capewell's a big loss. But South, a team still with Cody Walker, with Latrell Mitchell, with Damien Cook.
Oh, they're fine. Know, they're going to make the yeah, eight. But I mean, they're going to take a hit though. This was their chance. You know, with this group, I mean, they got to add some pieces now. They've got to develop some. Yes, some pieces have to emerge next year for them to replicate what they did.
Correct. Darren said, "No comment on the game. Just a genuine congrats to Stepdad and all the other Panthers supporters in the group. That is very fucking wholesome of you. Thank you, Darren." Anthony, fucking regular meetup attendant. Souths fan, he said, not the result I was after, but a great game nonetheless. Congratulations, Penrith. Mitch said, alas, it really was the hashtag Yeary of Cleary. Graham said, the Nathan Cleary haters have nothing left to use against him. And while Turbo is an incredible player, Nathan is the world's best. Well, there you go. Someone named Graham said it. It must
not
be
according
so.
To any metric on earth. Do you know what's spookier than seeing a black cat on Halloween? It's shaving your balls with anything other than Manscaped. When it comes to below-the-waist grooming, there's no need to carve your pumpkins this Halloween because Manscaped is here to upgrade your grooming experience. Go from a bite-sized candy to a king-size candy bar and join the 2 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION.
Now, I'm sure all of you know Halloween is becoming a much more popular holiday in Australia. And as happens with popular holidays, those fucking horrid big retail companies try to gouge us, and shit gets expensive on Halloween. However, if you have a lawnmower 4.0, so many different parts of your Halloween adventure become cheap as shit. So not only are we going to give you grooming advice, but we can give you fucking take to the bank budgeting advice. What's cool at the moment? Vampires. Have you seen the popular Twilight movies? All of those fuckers in there are smooth as toddlers. Simply shave yourself fucking bald, turn up naked, and say you're a fucking sparkly vampire. All it's going to cost you is $4.95 for some glitter. Or if a bunch of little shits come to your house and say trick or treat, and you say,
I've got trick. A treat.
No, Glenn, you don't want to appear on a watch list.
Well, it's too late now. He's on the watch list because of that.
But you say trick, and then as they get prepared to throw eggs at your house, you open your palm and blow into their gobs a fistful of your freshly shaven short and curlies. You know how hard it is to throw an egg while you're choking on a stranger's pubes? Very.
Like speaking from experience.
Or if you do want to just give them treats, take a new turn on the classic chocolate crackle and dump a handful of them in there and call them chocolate spiders. You'll be the most popular guy on your street. There's three ways that your Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 will not only save your dignity, but save you money.
Look, it's well known that I'm a very smooth character in most places, but it wasn't all that long ago where I had a werewolf in my pants. And I'm happy to share that with you, gentlemen, because I trust you with my life. The werewolf in my pants was howling. It was howling for some attention. And I found the lawnmower 4.0 and I gave it that attention. And it is now a freshly groomed, trimmed, delightful-looking werewolf. Not a particularly large werewolf, but it's delightfully well-maintained.
Would you say it's a teen wolf?
I would.
More like a prep wolf.
Like Muppet Babies, but werewolf version.
I gave my werewolf some extra attention with Manscaped's liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver, it's a ball deodorant, and the Crop Reviver, ball toner. The werewolf was howling with delight. No one could hear it because it's too small. But don't take my word for it. Get amongst it yourself. Get your own werewolf in check. They've got a bunch of other life-changing products on their website, so be sure to check it out.
And get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILNATION at manscaped.com. That is 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILNATION at manscaped.com. Say trick or treat to your new beautiful Halloweeny with Manscaped. They've absolutely fucking nailed you with the coffee there.
I love it.
Even the players voted Tommy as the best player.
Yeah, before
even Nathan Cleary voted Tommy as the best player
before, because he's humble.
Well, he's lovely guy, and you know he's recognizes. Yeah,
he doesn't chase the fucking accolades like that lispy fucking giraffe.
See, he also won the academic fucking player of the year as well.
Yeah.
Fucking champion.
Because it's fucking human nature. If you can't understand what a cunt says, you think he's good at physics. Have you ever listened to a Stephen Hawking lecture?
Well, he's easy to listen to. I mean, you know, he's just a robot.
Like, just clarifying.
It was like you just compared
Tom Trbojevic to Stephen Hawking. Gotcha.
Well, I mean, exactly. Like, I don't understand what Stephen Hawking's saying either.
Listening to a Stephen Hawking lecture is basically is like listening to fucking This Week in League when you're talking, Jay, except it's got slightly more emotion in it.
Devin Head on Twitter said, it's sexy Trent up. At Panthers equals no premiership. Sexy Trent not at Panthers equals premiership. Coincidence?
That's the fucking premium analysis of this entire fucking situation.
That's it.
That's science. We've been want to talk about science. That's the fucking science right there.
Mm. At Keeble2Tim on Twitter said, "You beauty." Hashtag Yeary of Cleary. Hashtag Chinius Maximus. Hashtag Up the Riff. And that'll do us for the socials for 2021.
Tremendous. Well, yeah, game socials anyway, because I'm sure we're going to be doing a mailbag and some shit like that over the coming weeks. But to wrap this one up, though, we just breached the hour mark. So once again...
Oh, I've got more in me. Do you want another hour?
I muttered the words express episode, and that's usually the kiss of death. That usually adds... If I say the words express episode, that usually adds 25, 30 minutes to the running time just through science. I can look at the tipping, though, and we had a three-way tie on top.
Oof.
So
I'd have a good three-way.
Our winner, I predicted it would go down to four and against, and it did. And our winner is Doohig, who had the little differential score there of 398, and then ahead of M. Jonesy and Mitch Rich, all three of whom finished on the same number of marks. I'd say a couple of people. Looks like basically people just rolled the dice, like, look, I'm going south. You know, if they get the upset, then you know that puts me in position to take it. But Doohig, I reckon. Well, we'll probably throw him a membership next year, hey, for being a champion. Let's get some prestige and some champion. Idea. Yeah, let's get some prestige and fucking rewards for winning the tipping. So Doohig, send us an email at business@thisweekinleague.com, and we will hook you up with membership next year, fella. Is there anything else you want to add this week, fellas? Before we get into the news, let's face it, it's all news, you know, on Wednesday, and we're going to look at some of the players, the legacies of some of the players who are departing the competition this year or retiring.
Yep.
On Wednesday night, and I think the one other thing I will flag is patrons for this week's membersode that we'll record on Wednesday night. The topic will be the best day of your life.
Well, can we go great days of your life?
Well, great days, yeah.
It doesn't have to be the best.
Well, it can be. I mean, look, how are we going to fucking know? Just tell us a day and say it was your best day, and then that's the day. I mean, like, we don't know if it's really your best day or not.
Ice Cube doesn't say, I got to say, today was the best day.
Well, no, because it was a good day. I mean,
I'm going to find that tonight. Have you seen that thing on the internet?
Which
there was some. There was some cunt on the internet who went back through that song.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
and figured out like exactly what day it was
based on based on the possibilities of like you know the Lakers
beating whoever and the Supersonics.
Yeah. And so like that obviously with the Supersonics that put into a very specific time period, you know, before they went bye bye and.
Well, they're assuming he was talking about a day in the year that it was recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the smog
levels. And he talks about the weather, the smog levels, the weather conditions and everything. It. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oh, it's amazing. It's fucking great.
It is amazing, though. And as a result, they did sort of nail down.
When the music you like is more than shanana-na-na-na-na fucking Jones, then it gives some depth and possibility to experiencing it.
Thank you for your insight. Can't hate on you today, buddy. You've had a magnificent victory.
Look, and on a serious note, it was fucking great for me to be able to share it with the boy. It was also fucking great to have you two guys there as well.
Appreciate that, mate.
And I would like to point out that neither of you did anything cunty at all.
Exactly.
Nothing but supportive.
When you scored the intercept, I said, fucking, you got it. That's it. You won, mate. You got it.
We all bring our specific skills to this fucking dynamic, okay? You do the cunty stuff.
you didn't knock out me brethren. In front of us.
I did turn to Glenn when that guy in the jersey was in the chalky jersey was standing on the seat in front of me. I was just like okay, cunt, I want to watch the game now. You've had your fun, fucking see. And I did turn to Glenn and say, how many rows do you reckon I could fucking launch him if I gave him a fucking from the shoulders like a double handed push?
And having caught him, he weighed nothing.
Yeah, so, I probably could have put him onto the field.
I think he could have javelined him fucking over the black dot. Give me a plea.
So we were on our best behaviour.
We were.
Because it was your day, yeah, not ours.
That's it. And look, here's it. I almost said to the guy, hey, do you know where you'd be great? Out on the fucking stairs over there so you can get both sides going. But yeah, it's...
But to be fair, the atmosphere, as you said before, but just being around it and not having the emotional attachment, but watching, you know, people fucking go mental and be, you know, excited about their rugby league team. It was very cool to look around and see, you know, all the different people just fucking loving it.
Yeah, it's a great equaliser.
Mm.
It is. And on that note... That's full time episode.
Repeat 2022.
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You fucking, let's fucking talk. Look, in March.
We just had some nice things to say about one another. Don't fuck it up now.
Dylan Edwards, Dally M4.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to stab myself in the fucking eye.
I can't wait for fucking Sportsbet to set the line for that. And you have to put money on it. And I'm talking about money that you will fucking hurt in your fucking anus if you lost that money. If you're going to say shit like that, you need to back it up. But that is full time episode 438. Thanks for listening, everyone. To find links to our various social media communities, Patreon, and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/TwillNation. Come and join the fun. Additional episodes, membersodes, and more. And that's all I have to say about that. So thanks for listening, folks. And more coming your way on Wednesday.
Can't wait.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.